This is Movies for the Blind, Episode 32, Nevada City, Part 2.
I ain't had so much fuss made over me since the mule kicked my teeth out.
Hello, and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We continue now with Nevada City, where Roy Rogers plays Jeff Connors, a stagecoach driver for Morrison Liddell, which is run mainly by Liddell, with help from the late Morrison's children, Little Chick and his sister Jo, who prefers driving a stage to running the El Dorado House and is kind of sweet on Jeff. But Jeff now has another reason to not notice that, because Liddell has fired him for suggesting that the mysterious Black Bart, who's been stealing from and sabotaging the stage company, is not working for Mark Benton, a railroad baron laying track nearby. Jeff's right, though. Bart is working for a mining speculator named Amos Norton, and he started sabotaging the railroad, too, to get Benton to suspect Liddell and get the two to destroy each other. All the while, Bart is posing as a man named Jim Trevor, making friends with Liddell and romancing Joe. But Jeff and his pal Gabby have started to suspect Jim Trevor, and that's where we pick up the action. Phew, whoever said Roy Rogers movies were simple? Here comes the conclusion of Nevada City. At night, Chick walks along a hitching post with his arms out to keep his balance. He turns to watch Jeff and Gabby ride up.
You'll never get back. I've been watching Trevor, like you said.
We had to tell Mark Benton to get himself a new crew.
Is Trevor still here?
He rode out that way about 10 minutes ago. He's sure a funny fella. His mom's dying, and he's pleased as punch about it.
He's a dad-burn reptile, that's what he is. Hey, how'd you know about his mother?
Old man Willis from the telegraph office had a message for him and gave it to me to deliver.
Didn't I tell you never to read other people's mail? What did it say?
It said Mother expected to die tonight. And then that Trevor reads it and grins and then rode away.
Say, Chick, you're going to be a detective yet. Come on, Gabby.
They ride off.
If you need me, I'll be down at the stable. My pony's sick.
Chick hops down from the hitching post. Jeff and Gabby ride out of town, past trees and brush. Crossing a creek onto a rocky bed, they slow down their horses. And Gabby jumps down from his to check its left front hoof.
What's the matter, Gabby?
His blamed animal's picked up a rock.
He dislodges it.
Sometimes I think he goes around looking for rocks every time he gets tired.
No, we'd never caught up with Trevor anyway. But he must be heading for the railroad. If he has a gang of his men hiding in these hills, it might be Benton's payroll instead of somebody's mother that's due to pass away tonight.
Why in Sam Hill don't he say what he means in the telegram?
We'll see.
Back on his horse, Gabby follows Jeff further along the trail. Later, Bart and his gang cross another part of the creek. Further back, Jeff and Gabby ride on, inspecting the ground carefully. They pause, and Jeff points down.
Here's their tracks. They're heading up the creek towards the spring.
Well, that's where the train stops to take on wood. They're going to hold her up there sure as shooting.
Unless we do some shooting first.
They ride on across the creek and up a bank. Not far from two storage buildings and a wood pile beside the tracks. Bart's gang gathers at the bottom of a huge dirt wall.
It's time to go. Anderson, you keep the horses out of sight here, but be ready to bring them in a hurry. Kramer, you and Buller take care of the engine crew. The rest of you come with me.
On foot and with bandanas over their faces, the gang leaves Anderson with the horses. Soon after, Bart and two of his men approach the smaller storage building. They hide behind it and watch the woodpile, where Kramer and Buller wait. Meanwhile, Jeff and Gabby ride up on a small ridge. Stopping, they spot the wood station some distance away.
I can't see a darn thing. Maybe they didn't come this way after all.
Let's go down and take a look.
You mean afoot? You know human beings want made to walk.
They're sure to hear us if we do.
Well, they can't hear us anyway if they ain't there. This don't look like no mother's bedside to me.
They dismount and draw their pistols, then start down the ridge. Sneaking through the brush, they spot Anderson with the horses.
Jump in, Jehoshaphat. Them's Hank Liddell's horses.
Yes, and every last one of them's wearing his brand. Trevor's Black Bart, all right, and we've got to get him. And before he gets a payroll, come on.
Don't you worry. He won't get no payroll. Not so long as I got Roaring Lightning in my hand.
They move on and see Kramer and Buller at the woodpile. Gabby aims his pistol, but Jeff pushes it down.
It's Black Bart we want.
Creeping out from behind the brush, they sneak behind the larger storage building. As the train signals it's coming, they carefully walk along one wall. Jeff stops and peeks in a hole to find Benton and his men inside on their horses.
You men keep quiet. They're here, Daly.
Yeah, my hunch was right, Mr. Benton. I knew if they was going to stick up the payroll, they'd do it here.
Be ready as soon as the train comes in.
What in tarnation's going on here?
Must be a trap to catch Black Bart.
Didn't I tell you ain't nobody going to catch him but me and Roaring Lizzie here?
I know, but Hank Liddell's mixed up in this. We've got to make sure.
Jeff sneaks around to the closed front door of the building. Picking up a long board, he very quietly sets it over the door, then locks it. As the train approaches the woodpile, Jeff sneaks to the side of the building again and crouches down with Gabby. When the train pulls up to the woodpile, one of Bart's men peeks out, but Bart holds him back. Two men climb down from the engine and make their way to the woodpile. As they start picking up wood, Kramer and Buller stand with guns drawn. The workers raise their hands. Bart directs his men out of hiding, and another worker comes out from the caboose, held at gunpoint. Meanwhile,
come on, let's go.
Benton tries to lead his men out of the large storage building, but the doors won't open.
They're bolted from the outside.
As they dismount, Bart climbs up to the money car. Gabby aims and just misses Bart, who jumps down and fires back with his men. As Benton and his men struggle to open the boarded up doors, Bart fires at his unseen assailant.
Get to your horses.
They run off.
Come on, we can get out this way.
Benton leads the way to the back, while outside,
the horses are our only chance to catch him.
Jeff and Gabby hurry off. Escaping the large storage building from the back, Benton spots them.
There's two of them.
He catches them.
You, get the guns.
His men do.
Daly, take half the men. Get the horses and start after the others.
As Benton keeps his gun on Gabby and Jeff, Bart and his men get to their horses and ride away. Benton's men ride out of the large storage building. Later in Benton's office.
You're obviously working for Black Bart, Liddell, or both.
A few days starving in jail may persuade him to talk.
Can they lock him up? You know what to do with the keys.
Come on. Come on.
A sheriff escorts Jeff and Gabby away.
You never starve anything out of those two.
If you don't, we'll never catch up with the rest of them.
I've got another idea.
Later in a jail cell.
Can't see nothing but Nevada City, and I've seen that before.
The sheriff enters with a man who's unsteady on his feet. Unlocking the cell door, he opens it and pushes the man inside.
Now, as soon as you sober up, we'll give you 6 months for damaging railroad property.
The man wipes his face with his hand as the sheriff closes and locks the door, then hangs the keys on a wall hook nearby before leaving. The man notices Jeff and Gabby.
You fellas live here?
Yeah. Nice, ain't it?
How much rent do you pay? Hey, do you know any tricks?
Sure. That's how we got in here.
Well, I got one I bet you can do.
He sits with a long, thin rope and hands one end to Jeff.
Now, you take a hold of the end of that rope. Ready?
He pulls out the tangled mess, but does little else.
And then don't go away. Don't go away. I'll do it this time. Here.
Gabby looks at the keys on the hook.
Give me that.
He takes the rope.
I'll show you a trick. It is a trick.
Jeff joins Gabby at the cell door. Meanwhile, Bart and his gang arrive at the Morrison Liddell Corral. Tending to a sick pony in one of the stables, Chick hears them and stands. He looks out from the doorway and runs along a fence to a tree, where he watches the gang remove the saddles from their horses.
Hey, Bart, how about a few drinks down at the El Dorado house before we go on?
It's too risky. Somebody might recognize you. We're lucky to have fresh horses to saddle after that run Benton's men gave us. Hurry up and get those saddles changed.
Checking around to be sure he's not spotted, Chick runs off. Meanwhile, in the jail cell, Gabby fashions a lasso out of the thin rope. He throws it at the keys, but misses. Jeff and the man glance at each other as Gabby pulls back the rope to try again. The loop hits the keys but slips off. Out in the street, a stagecoach pulls up outside the El Dorado house, where Chick waits. Norton steps out and turns to the driver.
Can you tell me where I can find Jim Trevor?
He's usually hanging around here. Mighty pretty gal runs this place.
That sounds like him, all right.
He ain't in there, but I know where you can find him.
Oh, you do? Well, where is he?
Down the street at the stables.
Have my bags put inside, will you?
Thanks.
Holding the coin Norton tossed him, Chick watches him walk off as the stage pulls away. At the stables, Bart's men ride off and their leader walks across the grounds. In the jail cell, Gabby misses again.
Ah, that blame key is hoodooed. I'd just as soon try to rope a mosquito on a dark night.
As Norton continues on toward the stables, he meets Bart walking in the other direction. Following Norton, Chick hides in a box nearby to listen.
Hello, Bart.
What are you doing up here?
It's time for the showdown. Benton's got to be knocked out now before it's too late. I've just found out the government will give him a subsidy if he can cut a grade through the mountain.
Why, that'll take him a year.
Not to get his subsidy. All he has to do is lay track as far as Nugget Creek by next week. But he's never going to do it. I've found a way to stop him.
Come on, we can talk better over a drink.
How have you been doing with Liddell?
He's in too deep to get out and doesn't know it.
That's fine. His stage line will make a good feeder for the railroad.
They walk past Chicken into the El Dorado house.
Evening, Liddell. Meet Mr. Norton. He's up here to look over some mining property.
Howdy.
Chick runs in.
Uncle Hank.
Go to bed. You ought to have been there long ago.
What are you up to, Chick? Painting the town red with that double eagle I gave you?
I gotta talk to you, Uncle Hank. It's important.
That sick pony again?
No, it ain't the pony. I gotta talk to you.
Chick pulls Liddell into his office.
Jim Trevor and Black Bart are the same man.
The same man? Why, he can't be.
He is, Uncle Hank, and he's working for that Mr. Norton there. They're after our stage line. They're aiming to break Mark Benton, too. They're fixing up the scheme right now.
Well, why didn't you tell me this in the first place? What do you want to keep wasting my time for?
On their way out, they bump into Joe.
Did you hear?
Yeah, I heard all about it. I've heard enough to know that I've been the blamedest fool in history.
Well, then hurry and tell him he can't do it.
Tell who? Who can't do what?
Mark Benton. He's got Jeff in jail.
Huh? In jail?
They're going to hang him for helping Black Bart. I just heard some men talking about it in the street.
Gee, Hossipat, why do you suppose Jeff is helping Black Bart?
I don't know, but he must have been doing it for us. We gotta make Mark Benton let him go.
As Liddell goes to the bar, Joe runs off in the other direction.
Where'd that fella Trevor go?
He's up in his room with that dude.
He's in number 12, ain't he?
The bartender nods. In the jail cell, Gabby misses again.
Let me try.
Well, if I was a betting man, I'd bet you $10 you wouldn't do it. That is, if I had $10.
Gabby hands the rope to Jeff, who prepares his loop and reaches through the bars. He tosses the lasso, which lands on the key ring, but slips off. Joe bursts into Benton's office.
You can't hang him. He's no more bandit than I am.
Bandit? Hang him? Who's he?
Jeff Connor. You've got to let him go.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you'll have to find yourself a new sweetheart, Miss Whoever You Are.
I know who she is, Chief. She's Morrison's daughter. He left her half interest in the stage line.
The stage line again? I didn't realize I had a girl fighting me.
We're not fighting you. I certainly wouldn't be here to tell you if we were. I know who Black Bart is.
Back in the jail cell, Jeff misses lassoing the keys again. He makes the biggest loop he can. He tosses once more and reaches the hook, then crouches down to carefully tighten the loop. He tugs the rope, trying to jostle the key ring onto it, and it slides down the rope into his hands. Taking the key ring off the rope, Jeff reaches around the bars to get one of the keys in the lock. He opens the cell. The man notices a wanted poster.
$10,000 reward for Black Bart. Huh. Boy, imagine being worth that much money.
That's a lot of money for any fool.
Well, I'm going to be worth that much, too. Come on, leave me to him.
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to wait a while.
Jeff puts the man back in the cell and closes the door.
If it wasn't for his string, we'd be in there yet.
Put these in the drawer. He's probably got some more string. Or is that all Mark Benton gave?
I've never seen you do a mean trick like that before.
No one ever made it that easy for me to break jail before.
Jeff puts on his gun holster.
He's in there all the time.
Did you see he isn't as drunk as he seems? He almost broke his neck trying to get you interested in that string.
You mean Benton wanted us to escape?
Sure, and he wanted him to escape with us. Thought we'd lead him to Black Bart.
Hey, come on, let me out of here.
Shut up. So you thought you had us fooled, did you? You didn't fool me none. Come on, let me out of here!
In Benton's office.
And Trevor's working for a man from the city who's out to break you and Uncle Hank, too.
Who is this man?
I think Uncle Hank said his name was Norton.
Norton? That must be Amos Norton, president of Sacramento Navigation. He tried to buy into California Central in the beginning.
Then you let Jeff Connor out?
Nothing you've said explains why he kept us from capturing Black Bart.
Liddell walks in.
Hey, what's this you've been telling me about Jeff in jail? You better tell him that. I just saw him heading out of town with Gabby Chapman.
There was another man with him, wasn't there?
What are you talking about? Jeff and Gabby by themselves?
Startled, Benton and his man bolt out.
Say, wait a minute. I got something important to tell you.
Jeff and Gabby arrive at the stables.
There goes Bart now.
As he rides off, they run across the grounds. At the jail.
What are you doing in there? You were supposed to go with him.
I had Chapman fooled all right, but as soon as Connor got his gun, he forced me back in here. He must be Black Bart's brain.
Really, I'm offering $5,000 reward for Connor, dead or alive. Get out the posters right now.
Now we're getting somewhere. With that much money, every vigilante in the country will be looking for him.
You can't do that. That's murder.
Wait a minute, Benton. Maybe when you hear what I've got to say, you won't waste your time trying to catch Jeff. I've been helping Jim Trevor, but I didn't know he was Black Bart.
Everything pointed to you, Liddell.
The important thing is now that your railroad's about to be blown to kingdom come. Norton's having Black Bart blow up the Three Pines Tunnel when the morning train comes through.
How do you know?
Ain't I got ways of finding out things in my own hotel?
Where'd they get that much powder?
Well, they could steal it from any mine around here.
That train's got a carload of powder on it itself.
If their blast sets that off, you won't get that tunnel repaired in a year.
And I've only got a week.
Well, how about opening this door?
Everyone hurries out.
Hey, let me out of here. Hey, you can't do this to me. Let me out of here.
Out on the trail, Bart rides hard across the creek and gallops on. Jeff and Gabby follow, but pause in the creek and look around. Spotting Bart just before he rounds a corner, they pick up the chase again. At the telegraph office.
It's no use. They've cut the wires. We've only got one chance. Gather some men and get to the tunnel first. Liddell, this proves you've been telling the truth. We're in this together. Are you going to help me?
Well, I'd be a darn fool to help a competitor. But that's just what I'm going to do. We can get to that tunnel a heap faster cutting across country on my horses than we can on one of them tea kettles of yours. So let's go.
Later, Jeff watches Bart with his gang.
Don't see why a man can't have some breakfast. Me, I hate riding on an empty stomach.
Don't worry. After this job, you'll have so much money you'll be eating breakfast in bed.
Jeff sneaks back to Gabby.
They're going to blow up the train at Three Pines Tunnel. We'll have to stop it before it gets there. We'll double back and cut across the foothills. If we go this way, they'll spot us sure.
Jeff mounts up, and they both ride off. Bart and his gang mount their horses and gather around.
Be sure to have those spare horses at the tunnel in time. We'd be wanting to make a getaway.
Don't worry, boss. I guess you won't be leaving no poetry this time, huh?
They split up and ride away. Later, the train approaches another wood station and slows to a stop. Two workers climb down from the engine to gather wood. Bart and one of his men sneak out from behind the pile with guns drawn and tie them up when a worker comes down from the caboose.
Come on, and keep your hands up high.
He obeys as he's led to the others.
Take care of Anderson, you come with me.
Bart and Anderson go to one of the cars, shooting open the lock. Bart takes it off the door, which Anderson opens. They look inside at the dozens of kegs of blasting powder.
You're right here, Anderson. Have a keg open and a fuel set by the time I reach the tunnel.
As Anderson climbs into the car, Bart strides to the engine and climbs aboard with another of his men. He starts the train moving again. Soon after, Liddell, Benton, Joe, and several other riders gallop across the brush and approach a large hill. They pause at the foot of it.
I don't see anything. Maybe they've already planted the powder under the tracks inside. Let's take a look. Hold it!
The rest of Bart's gang walks out with shotguns drawn.
They won't find any powder in there. It's come in the fast freight. All right, boys, get the hardware.
as some of the gang goes to disarm them. Joe moves to draw her gun.
I wouldn't try it, ma'am, if I were you. I couldn't miss you if I tried.
Further back, Gabby keeps watch as Jeff sets a large pile of brush on fire on the tracks.
Linton's crew's a bullheaded bunch, but this ought to stop them.
The train barrels toward them.
Somebody's built a fire on the tracks. They must have found out something.
Bart and his man shoot from the engine as it rolls right through the fire. Jeff and Gabby fire back as it speeds away. But Gabby is hit and rolls down a hill. Jeff bends down to him.
You hurt bad, Gabby?
Oh, not bad. Get going, son. You beat that train of four, and by cracky, you can do it again.
Jeff runs to his horse. He jumps into the saddle and rides off. The train rolls on toward the tunnel with the explosives in tow. Jeff rushes along the tracks after it. Bart drives the train relentlessly. Jeff drives his horse. He catches up to the caboose. Reaching out, he grabs a railing and jumps on, then immediately climbs on top of the caboose. Jeff runs along the top of the train, climbs down from a car, and up onto another one. Oblivious, Bart drives the train while his man feeds the firebox with wood. Jeff runs along the roof of the explosives car, and Anderson hears him from inside. When Jeff leaps down to the wood car, Anderson goes to investigate. Jeff jumps down and confronts Bart and his man at gunpoint.
Stop the train!
As they stand with their hands up, Anderson comes out of the explosives car and climbs over the wood, gun drawn. He pistol whips Jeff in the head, knocking him out.
Nice work, Anderson.
Bart throws Jeff's gun off the train.
We'll be there soon. Don't stop the train until you're sure the powder car is in the tunnel. I'm going back with Anderson to make sure that nothing goes wrong with the blast. Keep an eye on our friend here.
Bart climbs onto the wood car to follow Anderson back to the explosives car. They enter it as the other man looks ahead. Behind him on the floor, Jeff comes too. He looks around and finds only the other man driving the train. He gets to his feet as the other man spins around, and they struggle for his gun. Bart looks out from the explosives car.
We're almost there.
Further ahead, the other man drops the gun as he pushes Jeff down into the engine compartment and lunges. But Jeff shoves him back and gets up. Jeff punches him, pulls him up, and slugs him off the train.
Light the fuse.
Anderson lights the long fuse to the kegs of blasting powder as the train goes into the tunnel.
We're in the tunnel. She's stopping. Come on.
But it's Jeff stopping the train. When Bart and Anderson climb down to the ground, Jeff does too with the other man's gun.
Hold it!
They stop and hide on opposite sides. Jeff crouches behind a corner of the wood car. Bart fires, and Jeff fires back, alerting everyone outside. Bart and Anderson are shot and slumped to the ground. Jeff runs to the explosives car. He climbs up inside. Outside.
What did those shots mean?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
She's liable to blow any minute.
It's a cinch it won't blow until Bart comes out.
I hope he goes flying out through the top like a bird.
One of the men runs to the tunnel opening.
Hey, Bart, what happened to the explosion?
There's your explosion. Too bad it didn't make more noise.
As the fuse burns on the ground, Jeff disarms the man.
Go on.
He walks him out to the others at gunpoint.
All right, boys. Drop your guns. Let's get their guns.
The gang surrenders. And Benton's men get the guns. Later, Liddell rides up to the El Dorado house. Dismounting, he ties up his horse. He grabs his shotgun and stalks inside. Right up to the bar.
What's your hurry?
Norton in his room?
Just went up.
This hotel's dropping a guest.
Pulling up outside, Chick drives a wagon which has Joe tending to Gabby.
No, leave me alone. I ain't had so much fuss made over me since the mule kicked my teeth out.
Can I sing a song to you, Gabby?
Ah, go away, will you?
Benton climbs down from beside Chick and meets Liddell escorting Norton out at gunpoint.
I'm taking him down to the annex, the one that Jeff and Gabby just left.
Good idea. Just to show there's no hard feeling between you and me, how about taking a ride up to the railhead?
What, on that tea kettle? Don't mind if I do.
They shake hands. Then Liddell trains his gun back on Norton. Later, a poster is pasted up for a new matinee show today at the Opera House. As the worker takes his things and moves on, Jeff and Joe approach the poster, arm in arm.
Would you like to see it?
She grins and starts to run off.
Wait a minute, where are you going?
To put on my new dress!
She hurries away, and Jeff looks after her, smiling. The end. Nevada City was described for Movies for the Blind. Associate producer, Joseph Kane. Original screenplay, James Webb. Production manager, Al Wilson. Photography, William Nobles. Film editor, Les Orlbeck. Musical director, Cy Feuer. And that was Nevada City. If you know anything about Roy Rogers, you might have been wondering, so where's Dale and where's Trigger? Well, Roy actually did ride Trigger in this movie, but since he wasn't named, the description didn't name him either. As for Dale Evans, Roy would meet her 4 years later in 1945, then marry her in 47. At this point, you could also be asking, where's the preview of the next movie? Sorry, but I didn't have time to put one together this week, but I do believe the next movie involves Orson Welles, Edward G. Robinson, and Loretta Young. So find out more next time on Movies for the Blind. For more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, check out the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. The movies are from the Internet Archive, which is also the host for this podcast. So please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.